on the cradle, the cross, and the crown. Just remain standing for a few more moments as we read Acts chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. If they've got the recording ready up there. Acts chapter 8, starting to read in verse 30. Why don't you say amen if you've got it? All right, now would be a good time if you're using an iPhone with a Bible on it to switch it onto flight mode, because you don't want to be interrupted with text messages or even tempted by Facebook or something else, which is totally irrelevant right now in the house of God, in the presence of God, when we are talking about eternal things. Eternal things. Get your mind off the temporal for just a few moments and get your mind on the eternal. Amen. I always say, if you want to really fly, when you want to fly away when the rapture comes, then you better have your flight, your airplane mode on. Flight mode on. Acts chapter 8, verse 30 says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read of the prophet Esaias." Now, this Ethiopian eunuch was riding along in a chariot, galloping along, dust was flying, and Philip saw that he was reading something. He saw that he was reading something, and it says that Philip, the evangelist, Philip was an evangelist, he ran up to him, and he heard what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He was reading the book of Isaiah, and said, as he running alongside the chariot, he says, Hey, you, do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, or he invited Philip, that he would come up into the chariot and sit with him. So Philip, the evangelist, gets up alongside the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, hey, what is that you're reading? And you're reading from Isaiah? Do you understand what you're reading? He says, well, let me show you. So he climbs up and he sits down. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. This is what the scripture he was reading. You could also find it yourself in Isaiah. It was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb or silent before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He was reading a prophecy about the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and how that he would be led like a sheep to the slaughter, and that he would be silent like a lamb is dumb before his shearer. And Jesus opened not his mouth. And verse 33, it says this, in his humiliation, everybody say humiliation. In the humiliation of Jesus, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. A prophecy about the cross. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom is the prophet Isaiah speaking? Is he speaking about himself, or is he talking about some other man? Verse 35 says this, then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture. He went exactly where the Ethiopian eunuch was. The scripture that he was reading, it says, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach some theology. He didn't talk about anything else except he preached unto him Jesus. And listen to this. He must have preached good. It says, and as they went on their way, they came unto some water, some certain water. And the eunuch said, hey, Philip, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You see, Philip started exactly where the eunuch was reading, and he began to preach Jesus. He preached the cross. He preached the death of Jesus Christ. And that Ethiopian eunuch looked at him. He said, hey, Here's some water. I'm ready to get baptized right now. Baptize me into Jesus Christ. Baptize me in Jesus' name now, Philip. And the Bible says, and they went down into the water. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we ask you to speak to us. Anoint my lips, Lord God, that I would not speak just as a man, Lord God, but Lord, I would speak just as you would want me to speak, Lord God. Help me to declare and help me to preach you today in Jesus' name. And everybody say in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I love, this is probably would have to be one of my most favorite portions of scripture in the Bible. I love the fact that Philip, the evangelist, he saw somebody reading their Bible on a chariot. How many people have seen somebody reading the Bible on the way to work on the bus? Yeah, isn't it great when you see somebody sitting on the bus reading the Bible? That's the modern day equivalent of a chariot. All right? Just a big, long orange one. I used to tell people that I was chauffeur-driven to school in a Mercedes-Benz. Because, you know, all the buses are Mercedes-Benz back then. A stretch limo, by the way. But you could walk up to somebody, and this would what it would be like today, Sister Annette, they would walk up to that person and say, "Hey, you're reading the Bible." They say, "Yeah, I'm reading the Bible. Do you understand what you read?" And the person on the bus says, "Well, how could I understand what I'm reading unless somebody would explain it to me?" So Philip stepped up there, sat beside that Ethiopian eunuch. Next slide, please, Brother Matthew. Stepped up there alongside the Ethiopian eunuch, and he began to preach Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would be taken before the slaughter, that he would die. It was prophesying of his death, and he preached to him Jesus. And he must have preached something about baptism. You see, you cannot preach about Jesus without preaching about being baptized into Jesus. Because that is how we identify with the death and the burial of Jesus, through repentance and through baptism in Jesus' name. So this eunuch says, "Man, I'm loving this preaching about Jesus. Baptize me." And he didn't wait. He didn't say, "I'm thinking about getting baptized in a couple of months. I'm thinking about getting baptized one day." No, this Ethiopian eunuch, he just looked off the side of the chariot and said, "Hey, I think there's enough water right here. Why don't you baptize me right now?" And I can tell you that it wasn't a sprinkling of baptism. The Bible says that they went down into the water and Philip immersed him in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to preach today on this topic, the cross. But my subtitle would be this: the glory of his humiliation. The glory of his humiliation. And maybe today you've already picked up that what I have just said, the phrase that I have just spoken, is an oxymoron, because how can there be any glory in humiliation? How could anybody get glory out of humiliation? How could anybody feel glorified through humiliation? But I want to preach the glory of his humiliation. Philip went up to that Ethiopian eunuch, and it says in verse 33, "In his humiliation," speaking of Jesus, "his judgment was taken away. He became obedient unto death. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So today, the cross. The cross. Think about right now what happened that day at Golgotha, the place where Jesus died, the place where Jesus was crucified on the cross. But not just about his death, but also reflect on the disciples of Jesus Christ that were there that day. Think about everything that they would have felt. I don't want to go into all the details of what took place. You can read it for yourself. But in one word, the death of Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross can be described in one word, and that is horrific. It can also be described in another word that starts with H, and that is the word humiliation. Horrific and complete humiliation. He was beaten so bad that his countenance was permanently marred. The Bible says that Jesus barely looked like a man. Next slide, brother. Imagine how the disciples felt. As Jesus had been wrongly accused and it was led to the cross of Calvary, they had hoped beyond hope that Jesus would be taken before the crowds and somebody would cry out and say, "He is innocent," and that Jesus would be free from the nightmare that was about to follow. Surely the thousands of people that Jesus had taught, surely the hundreds of people and thousands of people that had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ, surely that they were going to cry out for Jesus. They would cry out for him to be spared. Surely somebody would spare him. The disciples were thinking, listen, when he gets to those crowds, those people that he had taught, they're going to cry out for him. And they're going to convince the Romans that Jesus is harmless to their empire. But it didn't happen that way. But with growing horror, they watched the mob under the evil influence of the Sanhedrin. They turned a convicted murderer loose, Barabbas, and they cried out for Jesus to be crucified. Finally, Pilate was pressured to act. Jesus was crucified. They had watched his body laboring to breathe in groans of pain on the cross, and they were fully aware that crucifixion was death by suffocation. They had heard the last cry of Jesus as he hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished." But imagine what the disciples would have felt, because they would have only heard one phrase. They would haven't heard, "It is finished." They would have heard, "I am finished." All they saw was death. All they saw was horror. They had followed Jesus, a man who lived for 33 years and his 3 years of ministry. They had followed him, and all they saw was death and horror and humiliation. They were there when his unrecognizable body was unfastened from the cross and laid on the ground to be wrapped for burial. They were there when the weeping and the mourning and the grieving procession carried Jesus to a borrowed tomb. They were there when a huge stone was rolled in place and they had to take that long, they had to take that long walk home to a life that no longer existed. They were called. They followed Jesus. They heard his preachings. They saw the miracles. They saw lives change. And they saw on that day what they thought was the end of it all, as Jesus cried, "It is finished." As they saw him unfastened from the cross and laid dead and prepared for burial to be laid in a borrowed grave, they took that long walk home. Can you imagine? Back to a life that no longer existed. Humiliation would be one word to describe it all. The King of Kings, completely humiliated. Next slide, brother. Humiliation. To lower the pride, to lower the dignity, to lower the self-respect of somebody, to degrade. Degrade means to lower in dignity, to dishonor or disgrace. And we read in our text, it says that he was humiliated. It says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Now, we love to read. Probably the most favorite books we read in the Bible are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, around here, we love to read the book of Acts. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are just wonderful books of the Bible that tell us about the life and times of Jesus Christ. We seem to know a lot about the Gospels. We know about the virgin birth. We know about the miracles. We know about the Last Supper. We know about the prodigal son. We know about the woman with the issue of blood. We know a lot about the ministry of Jesus. But Jesus didn't just come to minister, but he came with a purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. Everybody say the lost. Why did he come? You must remember that he came with a purpose. Why did he step down from the balcony of eternity? Why did he step out of time and into time for just 33 years? Of which only 3 years of his ministry, of his life would be ministry. Why did he come to die in the prime of his life? Dying a horrific death on the cross, stripped naked in front of his critics and his believers. We know why he did it. We know why he did it. Douglas, he did it for you and I. Sister Meg, he did it for you and I. Sister Akua, he died for you. Sister Martha, he died for you. Sister Judy, he died for you. Brother David, he died for you. Sister Catherine, he died for you. Sister Rachel, he died for you. Brother Leonard, he died for you. He did it for us. He came to seek and to save the lost. He was humiliated for you and I. He didn't just die, but he died a humiliating death. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading about this. He said, he was reading this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The glory of his humiliation. I want you to remember those few words, the glory of his humiliation, as I preach this morning. Maybe it would be a good idea for you to remember this statement as you leave this place, the glory of his humiliation. In recounting the life of Jesus Christ, there is a fact that you must decide where you're going to begin to tell the story of Jesus. And there seems to be many beginnings as there are tellers in the story. We talked about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 5, verse 39, quickly turn there. John chapter 5 and verse 39. We have to find, where are we going to start to tell the story about Jesus? We know that Philip started right where? At the death of Jesus on the cross, where he was led as a lamb before the slaughter. But John chapter 5 and verse 39 says this. It says, Jesus said it. He says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, search the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell you about me. The scriptures, all scripture, will tell you about me. You can search the scriptures. So this book can be opened anywhere. Can be opened anywhere at will, to any place that you want to open it, and you can preach Jesus right there. The scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. The only thing that needs to be determined is how much time you've got. Because you could start anywhere, because Matthew... Go to the first chapter of Matthew and you'll see that Matthew begin to unfold the story of Jesus. And Matthew starts by telling us the lineage of Jesus Christ. From Abraham he starts. He goes right back. He says, let me tell you about Jesus. And he goes back all these generations, I think 17 generations. And he starts with Abraham. And Abraham begat and begat and begat and begat. And then we find out where Jesus came from. That's where Matthew started. Mark begins his story with a voice crying in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's where Mark starts. Luke chooses another beginning. Luke starts telling the story of Jesus with the days of Herod, and he talks about Gabriel's announcement to Mary about the birth of Jesus. But John, he was a man, Brother Andrew, that liked the details. And Andrew's in Sunday school, but he talked about Brother Akbar. He likes to make things clear, and the details. John liked the details, and John, in John chapter 1, verse 1, John started unfolding the story of Jesus, and he started right back at the beginning. He said, in the beginning. John started way back, and in fact, if you quickly go to the last verse in the book of John, you'll see that John started so way back, and he was a man of so many words, and he got to a point where he had to decide that it was time to close the book, because there was so much you could say. And John says in verse 25 of chapter 21, he says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they were written, every one of them, I suppose, that not even the world can contain the books that should be written. John got to a point, he said, you know, there's so much I could write about Jesus, that there's so much that happened. He says, even if I wrote it all, even the world couldn't contain everything there is to tell about Jesus. So John closes the book at that point. He finally realized that he had started way too far back in the beginning. He couldn't find any way to bring it to close. So he says, I suppose that the whole world couldn't contain the books. He started way back in the beginning. Next slide. But in the book of Acts, it should be slide 5 there. In the book of Acts, Philip, the evangelist Philip, chose a very unusual beginning to tell about the man Jesus. When he joined the chariot, he probably hoped that the man, the Ethiopian eunuch, would ask about Bethlehem. Maybe he would ask about the manger or the cradle or something like that. But the eunuch was reading about the death of Jesus. He was reading about a lamb, a prophecy of a lamb being taken before the slaughter. And Philip says, I could have begun with Abraham. I could have begun with John the Baptist, but I'm going to start right where you are, Mr. Eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm going to begin right where you're reading here, and I'm going to begin to unfold the story and the purpose of Jesus by talking about his humiliation. Everybody say humiliation. I'm going to begin by talking to you how Jesus was brought to the lowest state, how Jesus was abased, how Jesus was dishonored, how he lost his dignity and his pride. He said, I am going to uncover the Messiah for you. I'm going to teach you about Jesus, but I'm going to begin with the greatest revelation that a man could ever have. I'm going to show you the greatest revelation that you could ever have. I am going to begin with his humiliation. Humiliation. Human. We got some humans here today. The Bible says that we were created from the dust of the earth. And then one day when we die and when the worms have had their way, we will return again to dust. That's why you say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. All going to be dust again one day, all of us here today. They'll try to find a way to preserve, but that's preservatives. If you just take away the preservatives, we end up in dust. It's like the little boy who went to his room, looked under his bed, and there was a lot of dust there. He said, Mommy, come to my room, Mommy. Come and look under my bed. She said, what's under there, darling? He said, look at all the dust, Mommy. He said, yeah, that's dust. I'm sorry, I haven't cleaned under your bed. He goes, no, Mommy. Remember what the preacher said. He said, we come from dust and we go back to dust. His mom said, what do you mean? What do you mean, son? And he said, well, Mommy, someone's coming or going. So human, dust. The word human comes from the Latin word humus, which means earth and ground. We know the origin of man, it says, dust thou art, and to dust you're going to return. Humus, humiliation, Humiliation comes from the root word humus. That's where we get the term that when someone is humiliated, you are made to eat dirt or to have your face rubbed in the dirt. Humiliation. So humiliation comes from the root word humus. Humus is soil. It is the natural organic compounds found in soil, formed from the chemical and biological decomposition of plant and animal residues. Humiliation, humus. Now, when we get our vegetable garden going, we go to the Corkill Brothers or Wholesale Sleeper Company or something like that. Now, I'm not advertising them. Wouldn't know what they do. But you go there and you buy some veggie mix, which is, veggie mix is just humus. Everybody say humus. So to be humiliated is to be ground down, to be put down. The root for humiliation is the same as that for humus, referring to earth. So you have this image of someone who is humiliated, having their face forced to the ground. And to use that common expression that I just said, that you are made to eat dirt. And Philip says, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to start by talking about Jesus' humiliation. I'm going to begin with the disgrace of what they did to Jesus in humiliating him. God robed himself in flesh. This was the beginning of his humiliation. The God of all creation put on flesh. The incarnation was the beginning of his humiliation. The cradle was the beginning of his humiliation. Next slide, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, speaking of Jesus, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Why did he have to become obedient to death? We're all human beings here. We don't get the choice to be obedient or disobedient to death. It just gets you. But he was God. He had to become obedient to death, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. You see, the humiliation of Jesus Christ is as mysterious as it is marvelous. It is incomprehensible as it is inspiring. It is the beginning of his humiliation. The God who inhabits the heavens and the earth, who had no beginning and had no end, he steps into the world with rules and with limitations. The God who wasn't bound to time, he came down to earth where he was limited by time. The God who is from everlasting to everlasting, he makes himself subject to the clock, makes himself subject to the calendar. He that knew no limits became limited. He that knew no restrictions became restricted. He who is in the form of God, the scripture says, took on the form of a bondservant. This is the beginning of his humiliation. Rejected before he was even born, Brother Rob, there was no room for him in the inn. He was born into a feed trough in a smelly stable. It was the beginning of his humiliation. He was born with fingers pointed at him saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" The man who created the tree by the power of his word becomes a carpenter, an apprentice carpenter. The man who created the tree is now taught how to make a chair. Though he was rich, he became poor. Though we, through his poverty and through his humiliation, we become rich. Crucifixion, his humiliation. The crucifixion was a way of completely humiliating a person. Picture it again. How humiliating would it be? Number one, Listen carefully, to be betrayed by a friend. To be sold for silver. To be led as a lamb before the slaughter, with people yelling as they kicked him and hit him as he went up to Calvary with the cross. And they said, Jesus, come on, if you're God, prophesy and tell us who kicked you and who hit you. Everybody say humiliation. He knew the words before they even spoke. To be paraded before the streets of the city as weak and helpless. Those people that kicked and hit him and said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. He didn't only know who hit him, but the Bible says he knew them before they were formed in their mother's belly. Humiliation. We're talking about the cross. To be hung on the very wood that he created. To hang naked before your critics when you clothed all creation. There is something powerful. There is something glorious about his humiliation. The glory. Everybody's thinking, well, it's not sounding too glorious yet, Pastor. The glory of his humiliation. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've been humiliated before and it felt far from glorious. I didn't feel any glory, Pastor, when I was humiliated, when I was betrayed by a friend, when I was criticized. I didn't feel glorious at all. The glory of his humiliation. Next slide. You see, when you put your shovel into the forest floor and you get a shovel full of dirt, all you see is humus. The breaking down of living organisms. But in this pile of dirt, this humus that the hands are holding right there, in that pile of dirt, there is glory and beauty. Just like there is glory and beauty in humiliation. When you look at the shovel of dirt, you don't see any glory. You don't see the stately cedar that could grow out of it. You don't see the glorious maple. You don't see those lovely gum trees. You don't see the agapanthus. All you see is dirt. The humus. The dirt. Everybody say the dirt. The dirt is the gift of life for future generations. His humiliation is the gift of life for future generations. The fact that he was brought down to nothing, completely humiliated, made to be like dirt, that, my brother, is the gift to future generations. Just like this humus here, broken down organisms will now grow new life. Jesus' humiliation was the gift of life for future generations. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Please turn there in your Bibles. It's going to be on the screen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. It says this. We're talking about the glory of his humiliation. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into death. Listen, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, listen carefully, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, if we are planted in his humiliation, if we are planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Jesus was humiliated in his death. It was a humiliating death. And Romans chapter 6 tells us that when we are buried with him by baptism, we are buried into the death of Jesus Christ. It says, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Read verse 3 up there. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death. You see, when we are baptized because of Jesus' humiliation, because of everything that he went through on the cross, when we are baptized into Jesus, we are planted into his humiliation. We are planted into the likeness of his death. And when we are planted into that humus, we as a dead person begin to grow new life. That is the glory of his humiliation. You see, he was brought down to nothing. He was broken. He was bruised. But if we, through baptism, would plant ourselves in Jesus Christ, plant ourselves in his humiliation, we will grow in newness of life. That is the glory of his humiliation. Because of the death of Jesus, because of the humiliation of Jesus, Brother Dave, if we are planted in baptism, we can experience newness of life. And I believe that's what Philip preached. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And then we read, the next thing we read is that the Ethiopian eunuch is wanting to be planted. He's wanting to be planted in the death of Jesus Christ. He's wanting to be baptized. He's wanting to be baptized into Jesus' death because he knows that through Jesus' death, that is the only way that we can experience newness of life. Bury me. Bury me. The eunuch says, bury me in his humiliation. Bury me in his death so that I may walk in newness of life. Next slide there, Brother Ben. Because of his death, I have life. You can thank him this morning. Why don't you thank him for his death on the cross? Because of his death, I have newness of life. Because of his sacrifice, I can be free from my sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you see, this is why baptism is such an important thing. It's not something that's optional. It's not something you do when you get really serious about being a Christian. Yes, you ought to be serious about it when you get baptized. But if you want newness of life, if you want newness of life, it goes right back to the cradle, right back to the incarnation. Right back to the point where he was humiliated, rejected before he was born, born in a stable, to the cross where he was wounded, where he was humiliated. And when we repent, we identify with his death. And when we are baptized, we identify with his burial because we are buried in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we rise up out of those waters, we rise to newness. Picture this. His humiliation created a plant pot of humus. A plant pot of humus available to all. He came to seek and to save the lost. That plant pot, that pottery of what looks just like dirt. If you were to read this and not know anything about Jesus, you'd just say, what a humiliating thing. If you look at a pot of dirt, you say, what a mess. There's nothing growing there. But if you would take yourself through baptism in Jesus' name and plant yourself into his death, you will walk in newness of life. You see, this new life that we have, this victorious life that we have, this life that we have where there's forgiveness of sin is the glory of his humiliation. You see, what came out of the cross was newness of life. He came to purchase our salvation. We were on a road to hell and lost in our sin, but Jesus came and took me in. So today, we turn our attention to the cross. Next slide, brother. As we think about Easter, the cross of Jesus Christ, what does it mean for us? What does it mean, the humiliation? He died. We must die. We must die when we repent of our sins. Repentance is turning away from our sin, turning away from our old life. He died. We must die to our old man in repentance. He was buried. We must be buried in the waters of baptism, buried into Jesus in Jesus' name. And he rose again. And we also have, and I'll preach it tonight, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit, that newness of life, that breath. You see, the humiliation of Jesus Christ, that is what ultimately brought us new life. The humiliation of Jesus Christ purchased our salvation. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 as we close now. We'll go back to where we began. I love this scripture. Brothers and sisters, just understand what Jesus did on the cross for us. Not just his death, but his humiliation. And that humiliation that he was made, as it were, to eat dirt for you and I. So that we, when we are planted by baptism into Jesus, we can walk in newness of life. And today, as a preacher, I declare to you, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, be baptized in his name. Be baptized in the lovely saving name of Jesus. There's no other way. You've got to be planted into the likeness of his death. You've got to be planted in Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 35 says this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same time and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest." Do you believe in Jesus? I'm baptizing you. You believe in Jesus? I'm going to baptize you. And he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38 says, and he commanded the chariot. Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop it now. Stop the chariot. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Maybe you came here today full of the burdens of this world, full of trouble and strife and sin in your life. But you can go away rejoicing, knowing that Jesus paid the price, knowing that there is glory in his humiliation. Let's stand. Some of us tonight, today, need to come back to the cross. Back to the cross. Back to the cross where I first saw the light. Many of us, over the years, maybe a long time ago, you were baptized in the name of Jesus. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my past rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. This is what that eunuch said. And he said, now I am happy all the day. He went away rejoicing. We got to be buried in Jesus' name, in baptism. That is the glory of his humiliation. Planted. Just like, you see, that pot at home. I got lots of pots of dirt. The plant dies. I eventually pull the plant out. Just sits there as a pot of dirt. But it'd be like me walking over under a gum tree, Bishop Downs, and picking up a twig. Just a stick. A dead stick, Brother Neil. That's what you and I are like, just like that dead stick. And walk it over to that pot of humus. Get in that stick and just putting it into that dirt. And suddenly, the buds begin to appear. The leaves begin to grow. The plant begins to grow. And what once was dead is now alive. The glory of His humiliation. This altar is open today. I encourage everyone, come bow your knee. Remember the cross. Thank Him for what He's done. If you haven't been baptized, grab me before you go today. Come back tonight. We've got a baptismal service. We'll baptize you into Jesus. You can walk away rejoicing, knowing that your sins have been washed away. But right now, just come bow your knee. Before we leave this place, come via the altar before we go anywhere. And let's worship the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Come on, let's lift our hands and just receive it. Lord, we receive the word today. We receive your word today, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that there is glory in your humiliation. Hallelujah. Let's sing it.